Well, 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 after a year absence, the CUSD is back in the championship game of the highest level of state football here in Arizona. It's playoff time and championship time. The season started back on August 19th, and as we move towards the Thanksgiving holiday, the championship game will include a team from Arizona Avenue. Lots to discuss, and as we like to say, plenty of teams, plenty of talent, and plenty of action. Brett Quintine with the always going and always entertaining C-Town Rivals podcast, where high school sports is always on the agenda. Ralph Amson joins me as always this week. Connect with us on Twitter. Many of you do, and we appreciate it. Take a strong look at ArizonaVarsity.com, especially this week. Solid information. And, of course, give a like to our Facebook page. You'll love it. All eyes were at Hamilton High School this past Friday night for the semifinal game between number 2 Chandler and the 3rd-ranked Perry Pumas. The same team that won the matchup on October 7th was a winner in this one, and that was the Chandler Wolves, 62-20. Final score, and that was also a running clock. Guys, I can tell you this, the tone was set from the get-go when Kendon Walker returned the opening kickoff 70 yards for a score. Yes, the Pumas drove right back down the field with a touchdown of their own. Brock Purdy rambles in from 31 yards out to tie it, but after that, it was all TJ Green and all Chandler. Green, 6 touchdowns overall, 5 on the ground, 275 yards on the ground for the Oregon State commit. Ralph, we're looking at an offensive juggernaut here, a running clock in all 3 playoff games, and they've scored 6 against each of their last 2 playoff opponents.
Chandler's really scary right now, and I definitely want to give some credit to Perry for the season that they had. 10-2, something that's never been done before. 1 game away from playing in the championship, you know, tied in the first quarter, come back from some adversity. Unfortunately, they lose Nate James. You know, I heard some people saying, you know, maybe if we had Nate, we'd have a chance. But you have to be, if you're going to compete at the highest level, you have to be deeper than what one injury can cause you to face. You know, if you look at what Chandler went through last year and losing in the semifinals to Desert Ridge, and us having the first championship that didn't involve a Chandler area school since 2007, you know, that also had to do with a few injuries and ineligibilities and things like that. And when it comes down to it, you just have to be deeper and better than the adversity that can come to you. Losing Nate's a really, really big issue, but ultimately, you know, you can't give up 6 touchdowns to one player.
Sure.
You have to credit Chandler as the better team and one of the best teams in the state right now. What's most interesting about Chandler is what they've been doing to people. I believe it's the most points that anybody ever put on Mountain Ridge. It's the second most points anybody ever put on Desert Vista and on Brophy. It's the most points anyone ever put on Perry this last week. The most points that anyone put on Hamilton, you know, tied with what Perry also did to them in overtime. And so you look at what they've been doing in their last few weeks, and these are record-setting performances.
Yeah, they are.
And you can still pick out flaws in each one. You know, that they didn't play incredibly well against Desert Vista. You know, they played that game without TJ Green, went down to an injury early, and so, you know, they were tied with Hamilton.
Sure.
You know, at one point, I think around halftime, and so,
and they showed their depth.
Exactly.
They showed that, all right, hey, we do have next man up.
Right, and so, and to them, they're just running their offense in rhythm. I think in all of those games that I mentioned, I think they've only scored 3 total fourth quarter touchdowns. So it's not like they're running it up on people. This is all happening in the first 3 quarters. And that's something that you have to be scared of, really, if you're anybody but Mountain Point.
That's right, yes, because, I mean, Mountain Point has obviously some weapons of their own. Noah Grover's been terrific under center. But this Chandler Wolves team, and it's something that I really should have gotten to talk with Iguano about, if he could compare this year's team to the 2014 title team. Didn't get to ask him that, and we'll hear from Iguano shortly. But overall, yeah, they just have a lot of depth. They have a swagger about them that Mountain Point has as well. So it's going to be a good matchup. But yeah, Chandler definitely came out firing opening kickoff. Kendon Walker, the touchdown. They unleashed the beast, which is obviously TJ Green. They really just stepped on the necks of Perry. They did not give the Pumas a chance to really say, hey, you know what, we can win this. After it was 7-7, before you blinked, it was 28-7, 42-14, and that's a sign of a champion.
Absolutely. And I think you could probably even throw out the head-to-head results. You could make an argument, you know, for who's better, Perry or Hamilton. Mm-hmm. You know, even though Perry beat them twice, you know, you could probably still have those types of discussions, you know, even though obviously Perry proved it twice.
Correct.
You can't have that discussion between Chandler and Perry just yet.
That's right.
Chandler is obviously the best team in the city, and they proved it against everyone, and they proved it against Perry twice and Basha twice. So, you know, this is definitely the best team in the area. The question just ends up, are they good enough to compete with Mountain Point?
Indeed, I think they are. And the one thing I was able to ask Sean Aguano is, he and his team looking for revenge against the Pride?
Well, Coach Aguano, after a one-year absence from the title game, you guys are back, and the first thing that comes to mind, at least for myself, looking for revenge against Mountain Point.
You know, I think we're a different football team than the last time we played them. Again, they're athletic, and they're a physical football team, and they've been doing a good job throughout the year, but I think that we'll be ready for them Saturday.
Something you had mentioned to me, I'm going to say mid-season, you kind of structured your schedule the way you wanted. It certainly was top-heavy. You guys went out to California. You played Mountain Point. We played what we thought was going to be a better Pinnacle team at the time. A little bit softer in the middle, but now you guys are peaking at the right time as you blew through section play and the playoffs.
You know, I've set it up for the last couple of years like that, and hopefully it has worked out, and it has been very good to us the last couple of years. I think, you know, playing those tough teams in the beginning lets us find our identity and lets me evaluate where we're at as a staff and as a team, and then how we progress, and hopefully pointing at the end of the season and playing our best football, and it has worked so far. Again, I think we're a different football team from a maturity standpoint than we were when we played Mountain Point, so we'll see Saturday.
We certainly knew that TJ Green had talent even last year, obviously. He just really exploded. He came into his own this year. Just tell us about his development.
You know, he's a great kid. You know, a 3.5 GPA kid. So he's a bright kid. He's grown a lot. You know, he's running faster. I think he's seen the holes. And from a maturity level, I think he's giving our offensive linemen the credit that they deserve. And he's matured, seeing the holes and running that football. But he's running it more from a physical standpoint than I liked from last year, and he's been doing really well.
From a defensive standpoint, obviously everyone talks about your offense. That's the first thing that always comes to mind. But your defense has been steady throughout the year. Obviously they've given up some points, but at the same time they've made the big plays. It's kept them in the game.
You know, this last couple games in the playoffs, they've been playing really well. They've given our offense the ball in opportune times, especially in field position-wise, and had key stops.
Running clock helps.
Running clock always helps, and we try to get to that 42 as fast as possible. But I think, you know, they're running to the football, they're playing as a team, and that's all I can ask for from our defense. If they can give the ball to our offense as quick as possible, a lot of teams are going to be playing catch-up from there.
This is from the Good Problems to Have file. Imagine if Colby Taylor was healthy. What would your depth chart look like?
There would be less balls to everybody else because he's such a dynamic player. But from a depth chart standpoint, it would be tough because you're only playing with one football. But, of course, he would help us tremendously on the offensive side of the ball. Them not being able to key on anybody because there are just too many weapons. But he's going to have a great college career, and I'm happy for him.
As always, we're rooting for you on Saturday night. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And we'll hear a lot more from a couple of the key players on the Chandler Wolves. But let's just give some quick love to the Perry Pumas. Hey, they finished their season 11-2, which is just amazing. Something that I didn't really think would happen at the beginning of the year. They've got plenty to hold their head high. A lot of good reasons. More importantly, they have a lot of things in place for the next couple of years.
Absolutely. I think they're going to need to replace Nate James' production. And I think that they're going to want to be a team that doesn't have 60 to 65% of their rushing yards come from the quarterback position.
Correct.
But really, other than that, you really have to be impressed with everything that they're going to be bringing back on the defensive line, in the defensive backfield, obviously at quarterback. I think the offensive line, you know, will only get stronger from this point. You know, I think they're going to be a pretty attractive option. If they're 10-2, they're going to be a pretty attractive option to, you know, people looking to where they're going to want to open and roll.
Especially,
you know, until Basha hires a new coach, if you want some type of certainty, you know, if that's what's important to parents, I don't really know. But at the same
time, Jones is the only coach that school has ever known.
Exactly. And that, you know, everything is sort of trending and working in Perry's favor right now. You could, and ultimately, you could have kids that are deciding, you know, am I going to go to Chandler, am I going to go to Hamilton, or am I going to go to Perry? They look at all three having a competitive team, and if football is the most important thing to them, and every one of those schools is an A-plus school, if they live in Perry's boundary, maybe they stay home. And that's just everything that you do kind of helps you along the line. And so I think Perry definitely got the ball rolling, has the momentum right now. Staying on top of the hill is a lot harder than climbing it, even though it doesn't seem that way. But you look at, you know, the target that Hamilton had on their back for
years,
15 years, and you know, finally they've taken so many arrows that they've started to stumble. And so people aren't going to take Perry lightly anymore. I think they're set up to have a pretty good run next year. Obviously, Chandler's going to reload, Hamilton's going to reload, and Basha doesn't want to be embarrassed by their little brother again. So to do something like they did this year, next year, is going to be a lot tougher than it was this year.
Yeah, the Pumas definitely in the big boy conversation. And Coach Jones, thank you for everything that you've done, and I believe you certainly have our vote for Big School Coach of the Year. So thanks
again.
He's
up there for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it is down to just two teams, and indeed just one team in our area, and it is the Chandler Wolves. And we got to talk to an Oregon commit and an Oregon State commit, and that would be Colby Taylor, who didn't get to play really his senior year, along with Johnny Johnson, who's had a tremendous senior season.
Here with Johnny Johnson of the Chandler Wolves, and well, you guys have had a phenomenal season, and certainly you guys have one more in you. Certainly you're looking to get that revenge against Mountain Point.
Yes, sir. That the game before, they were a better team than us, but I feel like we've prepped really hard, and we're gonna go out there and we're gonna execute.
You guys had a rough stretch early on. Actually, you guys started off 2-2, very tough schedule. You guys went out to California, played Pinnacle, played Mountain Point. Softer part of the schedule. Seems like you guys are now peaking at the right time, blowing through your playoff opponents.
Yes, sir. I feel that we just needed to gain our rhythm as a team and get everybody rolling. So, yeah.
The Oregon Ducks are in your future. You're actually sitting across from a potential Oregon State Beaver, and we'll certainly talk with him. What went into the decision to head up to Eugene?
I just looked at I thought it was a great opportunity for me. The coach showed me a lot of interest. I have a lot of family that live up there. I think it would just be a great place for me to spend my college career.
And win or lose, describe this Chandler 2016 season for us.
It's been a great season for us. It's been a great building process for the younger players, and it's just been a great year.
As I slide across the table, I'm going to chat with Colby Taylor. Actually, for the very first time, I've seen him around. He's seen me around. You didn't get to play this year. Tell us about the injury and kind of the rehab and everything that you've done over 2016.
I got hurt back in August, and it's been a tough recovery. It kind of happened again the second time, but I've been doing great. I can start running again in a couple weeks. So I'm looking forward to that and just love being out there with these guys. You know, they do a great job playing, and I just like to support them.
Have you kind of been like a captain? You've been starting since, I shouldn't even say kind of been like a captain. In my mind, you are. You started as a sophomore, played a lot as a junior, obviously missed this year. Tell us what goes on the sidelines when you're not actually in uniform, but you're cheering on your team.
Yeah, no, I just like to help my guys out and tell them things that I see on the field and just ways they can get better and just and even help the coaches with plays that I think are open.
The Oregon State Beavers are next for you. What went into that decision?
I just love the coaching staff. The coaching staff, the great people. Great.
Seems like it's a Chandler pipeline starting to become.
It is. Great pipeline. I love the campus, the school, the academics, the teachers, they're all phenomenal. And then some of my buddies are up there, so it makes it a good, easy transition for me.
And in order to win the game on Saturday, what do the Chandler Wolves need to do besides score more points than they did in their first meeting against Mountain Point?
We just had to execute. The biggest thing is execute, be physical, play good defense, and the results will come.
And I'll tell you what, folks, there's no doubt who the best dressed team is here at Media Day. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
And those two guys just really are looking forward to Saturday. Obviously, one will be in uniform and one won't. Colby Taylor, as we mentioned, really a captain of this team. He's a guy who unfortunately had his senior year cut shorter. Actually, he didn't even get to suit up. But at the same time, he certainly lent his expertise to this Wolves team. And I think just him being out there, him being really excited for his team and seeing success has paid off big dividends for this team.
And I remember, you know, Johnny Johnson told us last week that, you know, he went in not thinking that he had that much to learn from a guy like Colby, who plays just a different style of football than him, found out really quickly that there's a lot that you can learn, not just on the football field, but off it as well. And they've all sort of been able to benefit each other. This is definitely a really, really special group, and looking forward to seeing what they do at the next level. You know, I joked with Coach Iguano at today's media event out here in Mesa that, you know, Oregon State's going to have to change their team colors to blue and white now that they have Deontay Sykes going up there, you know, and they can just continue to recruit Sean Iguano-led teams. The same thing that Gary Anderson and his coaching staff did while they were at Utah State.
That's
and
right.
So it is paying dividends. Obviously, you know, you saw Oregon State beat up on Arizona this last weekend.
Yes.
With help from a couple of Mountain Point players. And so, you know, they're going to continue to focus on Arizona and really reap the benefits from it. Hamilcar Rochette is out there. Colby Taylor is going to be out there. And now you're also adding TJ Green and Deontay Sykes. It's just going to get better and better for them, in my opinion, if they focus on recruiting in this area.
And speaking of TJ Green, we were able to catch up to him at Media Day. He's headed to Corvallis.
TJ Green, you guys are back in the championship game after, I'm going to say, a year absence. Obviously, you're looking for revenge against Mountain Point.
Yes, sir. We've been looking at that game, the first game we played them. We just going over film, see what we did wrong, making improvements, and we're just ready for Saturday night.
Aside from you yourself, your offense is on quite a roll. You're blowing through opponents 60-plus, running clock. Talk about how it's all cylinders going for the Wolves right now.
We've definitely been hitting on all cylinders these last 8 weeks. We've been playing as a team. We trust each other, and we've grown as a family. So we're ready.
Are the practices intense? Are they loose? Obviously, you guys certainly gel as a family, but tell us what practice is like.
Practice is definitely competitive throughout the whole week. We compete a lot with each other, and it's just a dogfight out there in practice. So when it comes out to the game, it's a dogfight.
What's the, when I say the mentality, when you guys take the field, not even necessarily on Saturday, but you guys see me, you certainly have some swagger. Is it a, we're not losing this type of game, or hey, let's get after it? Describe kind of how it is when you guys burst out of that tunnel.
It's definitely a let's get after it, let's get this win as a team, and let's see who we got next. So that's what we've been working on and preaching all week.
Who are some of your, I'm going to say, your mentors? You've been in the program for a while. You're seeing a lot of guys head off to D1 schools, you yourself, and we'll certainly talk about that. But tell us a little bit about kind of what, who you've looked up to when you were, say, a freshman sophomore.
Okay, I've definitely looked up to Chase. Chase was a big brother of mine. He still is. I talk to him a lot. He gives me tips and stuff like that. Paul Perkins, I know a lot of people compare me to him. I talk to him. He gives me tips all the time about like my style of running and stuff like that. So those two would be the most influence.
Two guys who definitely have done right. Oregon State, I believe, is next for you. What went into that decision? I'm sure you had a lot of offers, but what was it that you saw about Beaver Country?
It's definitely a family type of program. I went up there with my parents and my dad. They liked it. The team, I know a lot of kids on the team from Chandler, from Arizona. I have family up there, so it was just a real family type of environment up there, and I loved it, and my family did too.
Best of luck to you up in Oregon State, and of course on Saturday night. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it was interesting to hear him talk about who he looks up to in this whole Chandler tree. He admired Paul Perkins and Chase Lucas, two guys who obviously never played with one another, but certainly are, well, one's making a dent in the NFL and the other redshirting at ASU, but D1 athletes all the way around. And I'll say that I personally am just very impressed with this Chandler Wolves program. I know that's not a knock against any others, but I moved out here 5 years ago, 4+ years ago, actually, and the talk was Hamilton, Hamilton, Hamilton. But very quietly, Chandler has been in the semifinals each of the last 4 years and is making that strong pipeline.
Absolutely. And I'm not a huge fan of comparing one player to another just because they played for the same school. I try to get away from that because I feel like it's, you know, it's kind of lazy. It helps people identify.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's just not something I really like to do. But honestly, the Paul Perkins, TJ Green thing, it's not incredibly far off. Now, on the football field, I think there are definitely some key differences. Mm-hmm. Paul Perkins was more of a shifty guy, yep. and TJ Green is a hard cut and go type player. TJ Green's actually having a lot more success as
at
a senior,
high school, yeah.
And is, I think, a little bit larger part of the offense. But ultimately, personality wise, I mean, very quiet, very businesslike. Grew to be confident, not cocky. Very mm-hmm. confident, not cocky.
Absolutely.
I definitely feel similarly about those two players, and the success that they've had at Chandler kind of reflect the attitude that they brought into it. Now, TJ Green's story might be a little bit more similar to a guy like Chase Lucas, in that Chase Lucas, as a sophomore on varsity, really got his opportunity to break out in his first ever game because another player on the team didn't play.
That's right.
And for TJ Green, he kind of got his opportunity because there were injuries, and ultimately Chase Lucas couldn't play as much as he could last year. Micah Recampos was used in a little bit different ways. And TJ Green essentially kind of came into the season almost a fourth string or tied for third string type running back, ends up scoring 20 touchdowns and taking advantage of the opportunity that was given to him. And I tell this story all the time, but I was at the scrimmage that Chandler had against Centennial before last year started, and they fed TJ Green the ball every single time, and he always seemed to fall forward. I asked a couple of coaches there, hey, will this number four, at the time he's number four, you know, will he play this year? And they said, you know, probably not, but you know, he's a pretty good player and one to look out for. But at the same time, I've also talked to people who were involved with coaching him at the freshman level, and they've said, no, they always expected this. Always expected this. I think, you know, he has kind of a similar story to Chase Lucas, in that you just take advantage of the opportunities that are given to you and make the best of them. Personality-wise, he does remind me a lot of Paul Perkins, so it's interesting that you would bring up those two guys.
Absolutely. So I think that pipeline continues from the running backs to the Pacific Northwest. And I'll say what will be different on Saturday, at least for myself, this will kind of be the first game that I don't have to switch sidelines on. The last few games have been Chandler Perry or Chandler Basher or Hamilton Perry. Undoubtedly, I will be on one sideline for this week. And it is championship week, certainly. You never want to say too much, but I think the difference in score certainly will be closer than it was back in the early part of the year when Chandler lost 52-7. Both teams can score. There's no doubt about it. We know the Wolves very, very well. Talking to a few of the guys with the Mountain Point Pride, obviously they're poised. They've had a tremendous season. I just feel that the Chandler Wolves are peaking at the right time. I think they're playing their best football. They had a very rough early part of the schedule. They were 2-2 at one point. We're like, wow, this is a team that's given up 50-plus points in two of their first four games. And they have since taken off, and I think they'll be all right on Saturday night.
I do too. I definitely think it'll be more competitive. I've flat out said to Coach Iguano and to everybody else, I felt like once Mountain Point hit 21 points in that second quarter, I really feel like Chandler, man, quit's a harsh word.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think what I said to Iguano is that, like, they were deflated.
No, that's fair.
you know, they were without a couple of players. I think I just got done saying, you know, you have to be more than your depth issues.
Sure.
You know, you have to be able to compete no matter what. But it just, I personally have not seen Chandler play the way they did from the second, basically in that second and third quarter, because they had a little bit of a fire in their belly. You know, Aaron Howard played pretty well in the fourth. But I have not seen Chandler play the way they did for half of that game in any other circumstance, even in games where, you know, they've been beat. Mm-hmm. And so I was genuinely surprised by that. I don't think that will happen again. You know, the third game in 12 days situation won't be there.
That's big. That's absolutely.
You know, they definitely have a lot of momentum, but what happens if you come out and your offense isn't generating points right away?
Sure.
And theirs is.
Right.
You know, what
That's
type
right.
of resolve do you have? So you're really going to find out what this team is made of if they do encounter any type of adversity.
Because Chandler has not been down in a game in a long time.
Right, right. And they, you know, they have been tied a couple mm-hmm. of times, but they, you know, they have absolutely embarrassed a few teams in a row. And, you know, for a minute there, it looked like they'd almost end up with Red Mountain again.
Yes, Mountain Point, tied at 14. Yeah.
Mountain Point, I was out at that game for a little bit, and, you know, that game was, I think Mountain Point had a chance to run away with it. They made some questionable decisions at the end of the second half. Instead of trying to score, they kind of played the clock a little bit and looked for a field goal attempt at the end of the half.
Wow.
That one bounced off the upright.
Yes.
And then, you know, Red Mountain comes out, scores two times in a row in the third quarter real quick. And then they're back in the game, and Red Mountain even had a chance to take the lead, but they miss, you know, they miss a field goal, and Mountain Point ends up only winning by 7. And I think that might even embolden Chandler a little bit more to say, you know, they're, you know, they're a little bit wounded. But Mountain Point will be getting Noah Grover, their quarterback, back.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is really going to be no Gary Bragg, who absolutely dominated Chandler last time out.
Wow, that's huge.
But Rashee Hodge, the player who's, mm-hmm. you know, backing him up offensively and defensively, is a monster. And like one reporter here, you know, Jason Skoda called him Wesley Payne with better grades. And so, you know, and that's a, you know, when you say Wesley Payne, to me, that's one of the top 10 high school football players I've ever covered. And so, you know, definitely look for Rashee Hodge to be given his all against Chandler on Saturday.
Absolutely. Well, Norris Vaughn, definitely, I will say, best of luck to you. You have some fine young men. You've got an unbeaten team, and that certainly says a lot. And if I'm correct, he's 89-15 in the 8 seasons, and that just speaks volumes. But, of course, the Chandler Wolves, that's the sideline that I'll be on. I'm certainly hoping that the state title can come back to the city of Chandler. So, Ralph, wow, it's hard to believe we're down to just one game, and Saturday night will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll see you guys out there. Make sure to come out. I believe the game, you want to be in your seat.
Yes.
Probably, you know, close to the end of the 5A game that's going to be out there. It's going to be kind of strange. People are going to have to switch seats in and out. There will be people that stay for all three games.
True.
But for the most part, they'll do their best to clear everybody out so the students and parents can get in. But, you know, I'm expecting to see a total of 35,000 to 40,000 people cycle in and out of that stadium. You can stay home and watch that game on TV, but I don't recommend it. Come out to Glendale. Be part of that experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1-2. Yep. You're talking about a Mountain Point team that doesn't have a weakness and a Chandler team whose strengths are stronger than anybody else's strengths. And so I would definitely advise you, come out. You can watch on Fox Sports Arizona. You can say that you were there, and we'll be there.
Yes,
we hope to see you guys out there as well.
For Ralph Ames, and it's Brett Quintan saying have a good one. It's the C-Town Rivals Podcast.